live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sacktown Sports.
That's the show entering hour three this afternoon. Cattles out. Jay in. Simone and Kyle on the other side of the glass. Jabari Davis, former King, now NBA analyst for the Lakers Nation pod. He will join us coming up at 4:30. And we'll look at the Western Conference Finals. Tonight's game, preview, predictions coming up in just a few minutes at about 4:15. But Kings news today in a roundabout way. Kings draft and stash prospect Sasha Vezenkov has been named the most valuable player in the EuroLeague for the 2022-23 season. The league formally announced today. He also, a few years back, was the MVP of the Greek League, so two MVPs under his belt now. Vezenkov, 6'9", forward. He was the leading scorer in the EuroLeague this season. He averaged 17.2 points per game with an impressive 538, 385, 879 shooting line in 38 games for the Greek team Olympiakos. He also grabbed 6.8 rebounds and handed out 1.8 assists per night. And we saw Mike Brown was there last week to check out Vezenkov in person. And Jay, I said before the break, as we were talking about all the festivities during the Summer League, including NBAcon, that are going to be happening in just a couple months, starting on July 7th, that, yeah, the Kings probably won't have a lottery pick. Well, they won't have a lottery pick that'll be playing in there, or a high draft pick with as many eyes as Keegan Murray had on him last year. But is having a guy who won the EuroLeague MVP, is that kind of like getting a lottery pick if indeed Sasha Vezenkov is a King next year and they can bring him over and take him away from Olympiakos over there in Greece after his second MVP?
Yeah, and it's kind of like getting someone that we know how they're going to play, right? There's really no question to who that person is. There's only really a question of how they fit in with the Sacramento Kings. I think it's definitely like picking up some type of lottery pick. Yeah. Sign me up, Rami, right now. Let's go. Is it ready? Is it October?
And I'm not saying like a top five pick.
No.
I'm not going that far, because I went back and I looked at last year's draft and I was like, okay, I don't want to do like this year's mock draft and everything, but of the guys who played in the NBA last year, I started going down the list of how much you might be able to expect from a Sasha Vezenkov and where guys were taken last year. And I know these guys had pretty good seasons, but I think when you get to around 8, 9, 10, when you get to Dyson Daniels, Soshon from the Spurs, who we talked about yesterday, Johnny Davis, who went to the Wizards out of Wisconsin, and he did a few things. Those guys went 8 through 10, and I think it's realistic, Jay, to expect a Vezenkov to come over and perform at the level that those guys did. Yeah. I'm not even setting it at the Keegan Murray level, where Keegan Murray set the NBA record for three-pointers. You know what I mean? And he was the fourth or fifth pick in the draft. My brain has already melted.
Fourth
pick in the draft. My brain literally melted out there when we held the draft show at Golden One Center.
No worries. It was hot.
It was 108 degrees, yeah, and it was like hot, my brother. Second show in Sacramento. My head was absolutely spinning. But I think expecting Vezenkov to come in and perform at the level of a guy who has taken 8th, 9th, 10th in the draft is 100% realistic. And really, when you think about it, on Monty McNair's part, kind of a brilliant move. If he thought, okay, I don't plan on being a lottery team next year. You know what I mean? Because the goal was make the playoffs. A lot of people thought his career was on the line, or his job as Kings general manager was on the line if he didn't make the playoffs. If Monty McNair was, you know, like a chess player thinking 2-3 moves ahead and going, we're not going to be in the lottery next year. We're making the playoffs. And if we're not, well, I'm not going to be here anyways. Right. So not my problem. You know what I mean? But if he was thinking that far ahead and going, okay, but we are still a young team, we want to keep adding pieces, maybe I get this Vezenkov dude and he's like a lottery pick next year. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's and Nick and I were talking about this shortly after the season ended, of the fact that Monty McNair's job gets harder now. You know what I mean? It's one thing to make this jump, but now when you're picking in the latter half of the first round, You got to find the diamond in the rough there or in the second round. Or you look at the Miami Heat, who have sustained success, and they got undrafted rookies up and down that roster that are contributing to this playoff run.
A couple of them starting that
they're making right now. So if that is what Monty McNair was thinking, or even if that's just how the pieces end up falling for Monty McNair, that's just another really smart, really solid move by him as they build the foundation for this thing that they hope is long-lasting.
Great points, man. I think if he played his hand to play in the future, and that's what it takes to be a general manager, where you're not playing just only for right now, this season, but for the future, it's just a great job by Monty if that's the way. And if it lucks out to be that way, then look, he still gets the pat on the back as well. Like, look, you traded for this guy's rights. Keegan came in and balled, like you said, broke the record, did well, played well in a lot of the playoff games, a couple he didn't. But now you're adding another piece to the team, a high-end piece, by the way. If we put it in, you know, if Sasha Vezinkov was in this draft, probably where would he fall? You know, he might be in the back half of that lottery. He might be in the top 20. And so I would imagine, just looking at everything that I've seen with the NBA draft, he would definitely be a first-round pick. He'd probably be on the back half of that lottery. But I think it's just a great piece. And again, if they lucked up and this happens, then, hey, look, you got to give him his love. And we'll take – one thing the Kings need is luck. They haven't had a lot of great luck over the last 20 years, you know. And so if it works out and it pans out to the part to where Vezinkov comes over here and he is lottery-type material, then I'm happy, man.
Sasha Vezinkov is the EuroLeague MVP.
Shots out.
And possibly a King next year. Is that like getting a lottery pick? You can get in on the show by texting 916-339-1140. You can call 800-920-1140. You can always comment on the YouTube page at youtube.com/SacktownSports. Give us those thumbs up, subscribe, rate,
review. Where we at, Rami? Where we at over there?
Do all the things. A couple people commenting on it. Tall Chinese guy says, I'm in. Should be NBA ready in a reserve role. His shot will translate. Smart player, experienced, and tough. And I mean, I'm not watching the Euro League, Jay. I don't know about you. I haven't sat down and watched entire games of Sasha Vezinkov.
It's not your job to.
And the Euro League, what team does he play for? Olympiacos. I haven't watched many Olympiacos games this year, but
this seems like a cash grab.
From what I've seen, and Mike Brown, I mean, you don't know how much of this is lip service and just a coach talking. Mike Brown hinted at this last week, or just flat out said it. He looks like he fits what they want to do in terms of the style of basketball that he plays and the style that the Kings play. It seems like he could fit in pretty seamlessly for this Kings team.
Yeah, he's 6'9 on paper and 27 years old. He's the stretch guy. You know, that's kind of what Trey Lyles played a little bit this year. Sasha seems to be that guy and definitely a better shooter. Seems to be more offensively skilled than Trey Lyles. And, you know, look, you win an MVP anywhere. The Final Four.
I was just
going to
say, how much stock do you put in a EuroLeague MVP? Because I'm not going to poo-poo that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They got some cats over there that's balling. Some guys that were over here and that went over that way. I'm not going to sit up here and say, you know, he's going to make an all-NBA league, you know, all-NBA team over here. But, I mean, if you're the guy over there and you won the best guy of the league, then you got to be something, you know. Come on, man, give me a little cachet behind that.
For sure. No, I think it carries some
weight. He got the bonus, you know. He's getting the love. He gets the trophy. The Final Four kicks off tomorrow for them. You know, we'll have a guest that literally will be watching him play tomorrow, and then he will join us right after the games are over. See, we keep it locked and loaded. We got you right here on the Cattles and Ronnie show. But
Antonis Strogolakis.
Yeah, good luck with that, right?
Antonis Strogolakis.
Yes.
Euro Hoops editor and reporter will be joining us
and
tomorrow.
You know what? Antonis, he hit me a couple times as we've been going back and forth, and he's like, man, this guy's pretty good. I really like what I see from him. You know, that's in his words. That's just one man's opinion. But he's like, he deserves to be an MVP because I've asked him a couple of questions. Like, is this cat real? Does it look good on paper? Is it, you know, just the next guy that's coming over? He's kind of the next guy in waiting, and he's got to come over. And, you know, does he have any – I asked him the toughness. You know, does he have good ball handling skills? We went back and forth over the last couple of weeks. We just haven't been able to pair the schedule. Now he'll be joining us tomorrow. albeit right after the Final Four game. But he seems to like Sasha. He thinks Vezinkov has some game, and it will fit into what the NBA does.
I literally just Googled this to try and figure out, like, what do guys do after they win a EuroLeague MVP?
Oh, man.
You know what I mean? Like,
who's the past 10 MVPs of the EuroLeague?
Who else has won a EuroLeague MVP, and where are they now?
All right.
Anthony Parker won one in back-to-back in 05 and 06. He went on to have a decent NBA career. Then a bunch of guys, honestly, who I never heard of, and I don't know if I should even try to pronounce their names or if it's going to offend people.
Okay. All right.
As I butcher their
names. That's right.
But
is there anyone that we recognize on
that
list?
Andre Kirilenko won it in 11-12.
AK-47.
A guy named Luka Doncic won it in 17, 18.
18 years old.
Nikolai Mirotic won it in 21, 22. Okay. Sasha Vezenkov just won it in 22, 23. So some guys that did go on, Jan Vesely, who's not not all NBA by any means, but he's a contributor
serviceable
in this league right now. A few guys. You know
former
what I mean?
Former King Bjelica.
Really? I didn't have him on my list. How far back did he win it?
2015. Bjelica won it.
Oh, there he is right there. I saw the way it was spelled, and I didn't think that was I didn't think that was Bjelica. My eyes didn't see that.
Former Sacramento King.
I mean, I know that. I've heard the name. I just didn't know it was spelled Bjelica.
Yes. Nemanja.
Arrow pointing up.
Whatever. He deserves it.
Nemanja.
What is the arrow pointing up next to the A? Is that a pronunciation or is that?
That's a note on Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought it was like the swirly thing on the over the N. And it's like, I'm going to offend people if I keep going down this road.
All right. Not MVP, part of the Sasha Vezinkov.
So we're on the same page. They might be getting a lottery pick next year. That would be awesome, man. If you're adding that to a team that was already third in the Western Conference, that's pretty good. Willie points out Pau and Marcus Gasol won NBA championships after they were EuroLeague MVPs.
Okay.
Also, what's become a daily feature, which is what's Willie having for dinner?
Yeah.
A couple of days ago, he ordered the whole Wendy's or the whole Arby's menu.
How did that work out?
Yesterday, it wasn't quite the whole. I'm exaggerating a little bit. Yesterday, he told us he was having steak fettuccine Alfredo, which I didn't.
Yeah, that was a little off there,
I knew
too.
You could have shrimp and chicken fettuccine Alfredo. I didn't know steak could be a thing. And tonight, he's going out for a steak dinner. He's going to get a boneless steak dinner with a little red wine. And then when he gets home, just so we know he's healthy, he's going to take a shot of apple cider, some apple juice, and a vanilla boost and Ensure.
All today?
To keep things moving.
Willie must be a workout fiend.
He's a ninja turtle. That's what it is. He's a mutant.
No, real talk. How many calories are you bringing in a day, brother? Are you at the gym?
By the way, Willie also, because like I said, there's a whole show going on that has nothing to do with this show on YouTube. He also let us know he is a Navy veteran. So shout out, Willie, and thank you for your service.
Big time.
And enjoy all the meals you want, my dude.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all of them should be comped, quite frankly,
for
what you did. We'll hit a quick break on the other side. We'll take a look at the Western Conference. Do the Lakers shake things up? And does it even matter? That's next.
Afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles.
And Rami.
On Sacktown Sports.
That is the show. Cattles out for a few days. Jay in. Kyle in for Jay on the other side of the glass. And of course, Simone on the updates back there as well. Coming up, we will talk with Jabari Davis, NBA analyst, Lakers Nation pod at 4:30. And speaking of the Lakers, game two of the Western Conference Finals tonight, Jay. Just about to tip off in a little over an hour from right now in Denver.
Watching it on YouTube TV tonight?
I'm going to attempt to.
Okay.
I think a lot of people are going to attempt to and just cross their fingers that they can. And you know what? YouTube TV and ESPN had issues the previous night. I was trying to watch the Cubs.
Wow.
When they were on ESPN, I was having the same thing. Something is going on with ESPN and YouTube TV with some crossed wires. I don't know exactly what it is, but something is going on. Hopefully they'll get it figured out before the 5:30 Pacific time zone tip-off between the Lakers and the Nuggets. And Jay, of course, game one was all Nuggets for three quarters. They cracked 100 points. Nikola Jokic had a triple-double before the third quarter was up. And then the Lakers made it interesting, and a lot more interesting than I think most people thought they would if you were sitting there watching that whole game. And part of what changed that game was an adjustment by Darvin Ham to move Rui Hachimura onto Nikola Jokic and give Anthony Davis a little bit more room to roam. And some folks thinking maybe a lineup change, and Chris Haynes on TNT saying, yeah, that might be something that Darvin Ham is thinking about.
Sources tell me Darvin Ham is considering starting Rui Hachimura for game two. It's a decision he's keeping very close to the vest.
So very close to the vest. I'm guessing something is going to leak here in the near future. Maybe before we talk with Jabari Davis and we get his thoughts on any possible lineup changes. Are you starting Rui Hachimura? And if you do, who are you sitting? Because it comes down, it sounds like, to either Dennis Schroeder or D'Angelo Russell will then be coming off the bench if you're going big with Rui in the lineup to cover Jokic.
Yeah, I'm going with Rui, and I'm gonna force Michael Malone and the coaching staff to show me that they've adjusted to what we think is something of success for us that we caught in the back half of that game. And for me, I'm taking Schroeder out. You know, I like Schroeder because he puts the pressure on Jamal Murray. He's gonna follow him around, unlike Austin Reeves, who was getting nailed to the coffin right by Jamal Murray a bunch of times. But I think you remove Schroeder and you bring in Rui and you go with the size to kind of match Denver, who's big all the way around for the most part, with Michael Porter and Aaron Gordon and Jokic inside. And again, game of chess, not checkers. I want to see if you can match my adjustments, because we made an adjustment. Let's see if you match my adjustment.
Yep. You might call it chess or checkers. Mike Brown called it whack-a-mole. Every time you solve one problem, another one pops up, as he put it. I'm with you. I would make that move as well. And I would make, including the change of Schroeder coming off the bench, because one of the things that was sort of floating around this rumor that they might go with Rui Hachimura in the starting lineup tonight was that D'Angelo Russell maybe wouldn't handle it great, and they would quote-unquote lose him if he's not in the starting lineup after he's started every playoff game. I don't – if I'm Darvin Ham, I don't know if that's why I'm making the decision, but I'm probably factoring that. If we're making a championship run, I need D'Angelo Russell bought in. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if starting the game on the floor is going to keep him bought in this series and moving forward, and Dennis Schroeder is more okay coming off the bench, it's going to come down to minutes distribution. You know what I mean? Who's going to be on the court at the end of the game, I think, is probably more important than who's going to be on the court to start the game.
Yeah, definitely. Bobby Jackson on TV. Hey. Stockton Kings head coach out there at the Combine in Chicago getting some love. Just had to point that out right
now. Look at that.
YouTube TV, not felon as yet, no. But, I like that, Rami. The one thing, though, and this is, I said this yesterday, it's over, right? I went out there on the line.
That was my next question. Does it matter, or is it still over?
But
does this adjustment do anything for you?
No, I don't think in the long run. It might win you a game here or there. You know, maybe sneak this one out today. Maybe sneak out game three when you got the home crowd behind you. But I think in the long run, when it's all said and done and smoke clears, Denver will take it. But you know why it just further just kind of points my opinion to the fact that it's over is if D'Angelo is that weak in the mind frame and that's who you guys need to win, then I got you anywhere to go. Then I know I'm going to win this.
You're on shaky ground anyways.
You're walking on thin ice, brother. And that's my point with the Lakers. It looked good. It smelled good. And, you know, Nick has talked about it. Oh, I hated the trade deadline. Look, all that's going to come to an end sooner or later. Because some of the guys that they picked up – now, I'm a Vanderbilt guy. I think Vanderbilt is built for this. But look, D'Angelo's been kicked around like a soccer ball at this point, right? And there's a reason. He's good, but he's not great. I'm not sure about Schroeder. I like where he comes from. Again, I would like he's our Davion for the Lakers.
Yep.
He's going to keep that pressure on you, hit the occasional three-pointer shot. We remember him in the corner hitting the veins with the ice and all that type of stuff. And then AD went ahead and fouled. Who was that he fouled for with the three free throws?
Clay. Wasn't it Clay?
No, it was a first round series.
Oh.
It was Minnesota. Remember, it was against Minnesota in the play-in game.
Mike Conley.
Conley. There you go, Kyle.
That's right.
Yeah, he went up to proceed and hit
Conley.
Mike Conley.
Yeah.
Conley. Thank you. But Scoop-de-woop. That's kind of my whole point with the Lakers. is they need almost everything to go right for me to say that they're going to beat the Nuggets. And if D'Angelo is wavering on the fence because you're not going to start him or, you know, he's not going to play a certain amount of minutes, then we already got you. If Schroeder is coming off the bench and we already make you making adjustments, then I got you, you know. And so if I'm Denver, again, Malone's going to make an adjustment, but he's not going to make the adjustment to the point where he's kicking around a starting lineup. He's probably going to kick somebody out. Porter, make you have to bring AD out now, you know, stretch the defense.
I don't think it's going to matter too much.
Yep.
You know, I would do it just because it seemed to work at the end, and you got to do everything you can over the course of a playoff series. But I'll go back to, and you made this point after game one, I think what we saw in the fourth quarter was more about Jokic and less about Rui Hachimura. And I said yesterday or 2 days ago when we talked about it, if kind of like what you're saying about D'Angelo Russell, if you're counting on Rui Hachimura to stop the guy that should be the three-time MVP of this league,
good
luck with that. If that's how you plan on winning this series, good luck with that. I don't think it's going to work out so good for you. I think the Nuggets go up 2-0 tonight, Jay. What do you think?
I think so, too. And I expect for Jokic to look over that shoulder and see Rui and be like, come on, man. Y'all was for real about this?
Y'all was 25 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about to expose this young
I don't know if he's going to have another triple-double after three quarters.
Oh,
but
okay, yeah.
You ain't stopping Jokic with Rui Hachimura.
I'm going on record, and believe me, I'm not going too far out there, but Jokic is having another triple-double tonight.
We'll see what Jabari Davis, NBA analyst, host of the Mad Boosties podcast and the Lakers Nation pod. He'll join us right after this.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports. The King season might be over, but Sacktown Sports coverage never stops.
Guys on other teams, when they look at the Sacramento Kings, they feel that this is a fun brand of basketball to play.
Stay tuned all off season to Sacktown Sports and SacktownSports.com for the latest Kings news. Sacktown Sports.
Headlines. It's Simone with your Sacktown Sports headlines. According to ESPN sources, the Phoenix Suns have started to gather permission on several assistants for head coaching interviews, including Sacramento's very own associate head coach, Jordy Fernandez. Head over to SacktownSports.com to check out Frankie Cardicelli's exclusive write-up on Coach Jordy's potential next steps. Over in Boston last night, for the third time in four seasons, Boston Celtics and Miami Heat once again square up for Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals in TD Garden. The familiar rapport certainly suits Jimmy Butler as he racked up 35 points, including 20 after halftime, as the Heat blistered the Celtics 123-116. The two Eastern Seaboard foes clash again tomorrow in Boston. Tonight, Game 2 of the West Finals, Denver hosts LA, holding the 1-0 series lead. Tip-off going up at 5:30. And finally, the PGA Championship is underway at Oak Hill.
Time to go home there, ball.
Bryson DeChambeau back in the clubhouse and atop the leaderboard with 4 under. I'm Simone. Those are your Sacktown Sports headlines. Welcome back in to Cattles and Rami with Jay Johnson.
Cattles and Rami.
Cattles and Rami. Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
That's the show. Cattle's out for a few days. Jay in. Everything will be fine. Nick will be back. Stop with your conspiracy theories. Coming up in just a few minutes, a big L for LIV Golf and a big W for Tiger Woods coming up at 4:45. But joining us right now on the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline, Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. He is an NBA analyst, host of the Mad Boosties podcast and the Lakers Nation pod. Jabari Davis joins us. What's up, Jabari? How are you this afternoon, my man?
Not bad at all. I appreciate you having me.
We were talking right before we brought you on about a potential lineup change. I don't know if it's been announced or leaked, or maybe you're going to break it right here on Cattles and Rami. But going with Rui Hachimura in the starting lineup and sitting either D'Angelo Russell or Dennis Schroeder, do you think that's a move that Darvin Ham might make ahead of Game 2 tonight?
I think he should. I think he absolutely will. Because the reality is this. While I'm not buying into like, oh, Rui is the ultimate answer and he's just going to lock, you know, Jokic up. That's not going to happen. Jokic is incredible and he's going to get his numbers. At the very least, you're not playing undersized, because I'm sure you guys saw in that game one, in that first half, They were outmatched. They were, you know, if they beat the Lakers, they were, you know, they lost just about every 50-50 ball. They were, you know, destroyed on the glass, you know, for the, you know, for the better part of that half. And it really wound up with them just kind of trying to play from behind. Again, I'm not saying this is the ultimate answer, but if I were them, I would absolutely go big against Jokic.
Jabari, and you kind of spoke to it. You touched on it, that the dominance of what Denver did in the first half, especially the first quarter, and it didn't look that hard. It looked rather easy. Is there another gear that Denver could kick into, or do you think we saw the best Denver team a couple of nights ago?
I think if you're the Lakers, you're hoping that's the best that you can see. But no, I look, far be it from me to say that's the absolute best they can play. But like we can also be honest, that was a very well played, very well played game. But to your point, it didn't even look difficult in that first half, which is, you know, again, you know, as the Lakers, you know, showed in the second half, obviously they can, you know, they can elevate their game. But, you know, that's a great question, because it really is going to be a matter of, once these two teams continue, you know, make adjustments, you know, will the Lakers be able to match energy, match tempo, match pace, and actually outpace them, for the better part of this series? You know, to be honest with you, if the Lakers cannot do that, you know, this is going to be a short series.
You know, Jay mentions that, you know, that might have been the best Denver that you'll face. He also brought up the point after game one that you got 40-10 from Anthony Davis, you got 26-12 from LeBron James, you got 23 points from Austin Reeves, you got 17 points from Rui Hachimura, and still lost. Can the Lakers play better in this series, or did they already deliver their best punch to Denver, and it still wasn't good enough?
I'll tell you the truth. I think both teams can continue to elevate, but in particular with the Lakers, from an effort standpoint, as well as a strategic standpoint, you know, like over the course of the series, I think they can improve. But no, look, Denver, there's a reason why Denver was the number one team in the West, you know, over the course of the bulk of the season. There's a reason why, you know, they put some distance, you know, between themselves and were actually able to coast, you know, through the months of like February and early March. This is the best Denver team that I've seen in quite some time. They have it in terms of their starting lineup. They have, you know, great contributors off the bench. They've got it all around. So, look, I don't think it's going to be a short series. I picked the Lakers heading into it. You know, admittedly, I very well could be wrong. Part of me thinks that, you know, as crazy as it's going to sound, the winner of tonight's game wins this series. I know it's not over by any stretch, regardless of who wins it. But if the Lakers are able to, you know, build upon what they did in that second half and continue to show that, you know, to show the dominant defense that they've shown prior to this series, I think that they're going to be right there in it. But if Denver comes out and blows them out, while the series will not be over, of course, because then the Lakers will be going home, I honestly think that this series is going to be short-lived.
Jabari Davis joining us from Mad Boosties. Jabari, I'm going to switch gears, man, because I just can't continue to talk about the Lakers here in Sacramento. It's against my bloodline, and I'm not going to call you crazy, brother, because I do think whoever wins tonight, the series is over. But I'm going to switch gears. Last time I knew your whereabouts, I believe it was out in that Phoenix area, so I'm going to come towards that way. What is going on with the Phoenix Suns letting Monty Williams go, and who – how can you get better than Monty Williams? I know they're tied to Ty Lue. Looks like Steve Ballmer's going to pull out his wallet and keep Ty Lue. Where could they possibly be going?
That's a great question, and your guess is as good as mine with that, because when I heard the news, I thought, wow, that seems very quick, even though we all know it doesn't matter which market you're in. The coach is always going to be the first one to get the blame, and oftentimes going to be the one on his way out the door. But, you know, look, Monty Williams, in my estimation, is a top 10 coach in this league. You know, depending upon where, you know, how you feel about him, he could be top five or whatever the case may be. If you had the opportunity to get Lou and it were a lock, then okay, I get it, because, you know, maybe you want to go in a different direction. And if you're bringing in a championship coach that has, you know, done it in various ways and been, you know, fairly successful in various ways, then that, you know, that's great. But if you're not bringing Lou in, if you don't already have somebody else in mind, you know, to me, it's kind of like, well, why did you make the move then? Why did you make it so soon? You know, this is something that could have been done after the season, after you locked in your candidate or whatever the case may be. But look, they have a brand new ownership there. We'll see if they want to continue the same path with the front office, which I hope that they do. But you know, ultimately, when you have new ownership and you have new leaders in an organization, oftentimes regardless of whether it's fair or not, they're going to want their own quote unquote guys in there, and maybe it's just a matter of that.
You know, we were talking about that situation in Phoenix, and some reports that they were trying to steal Ty Lue away from the Clippers, and now the Clippers are trying to lock Ty Lue up more long term. And I said to Jay that it looks to me like with all these coaches getting fired and coaches with winning track records, that a lot of these teams, after the guy that walks out the door after they handed him his pink slip, are going, oh, well, where do we find somebody better than that now? Do you think NBA teams are realizing maybe a little bit too late how hard it is to find a coach as good as a Monty Williams or a Mike Budenholzer or a Nick Nurse or these other guys that lost their job this year?
You know, it's funny. I was going to answer this question differently, but when you started naming the guys that are actually out there again, for whatever reason, I'd forgotten that Budenholzer was available and Nick Nurse was available. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's a matter of, hey, the grass looks greener on the other side. And if we can get a championship level coach, regardless of how it ended at their previous stop, then we'll be okay. So if I'm the Phoenix Suns and I have the opportunity to, potentially go out and get Mike Budenholzer, if I think he's the answer, then I could see that being the case. But, the ultimate answer to that question is, I personally think coaches are always hired to be fired. And whether that's fair or not, that is the reality in professional sports, and in particular in the NBA. So, it's weird to see people, seemingly coaches being passed around, like this. But I think this is the new norm. I honestly do.
Is there, Jabari, is there anyone that you have an inkling that is going to be moved this offseason that I think most of us in the media and fans that we don't see the writing on the wall yet?
I'm going to say a name, and I will probably look foolish. Like, look, folks, I'll raise my hand right now. Find me on Twitter, Jabari Davis NBA. I have no problem being wrong. I think Joel Embiid gets moved this offseason, and here's the reason why. Not because, it's time. Not because I'm saying it's time to give up on that. Not because I'm saying, because when he came out after after the game and not only went out of his way to praise Doc, but specifically say, yeah, I think he's going to be safe. And then the very next day, they moved on from Doc. And now we're hearing rumors that one of the driving forces behind that is, was James Harden or his camp. It makes me think, are they really going to make this? Are they really going to try to sell high on Embiid right now and center this around? As crazy as it sounds, I think that is the big move that happens this summer.
Wow, I like it.
Let's circle back around. Last question, who wins tonight, game two?
Head says Denver goes ahead and takes care of business. Heart, sorry, I know we're still in Sacramento.
Oh, no. Come on, you heard my feelings, Jabari.
I'm going to stick with the Lakers. I think they find a way to tie it up. And if I'm wrong, like I said, hey, have me back on. I'll say I was an idiot.
You wouldn't be the first or last idiot on this show, Jabari Day. One is sitting in this very chair. He's an NBA analyst, host of the Mad Boosties podcast, and the Lakers Nation pod, and our guest for the last few minutes, Jabari Davis. Really appreciate the time, my man.
Absolutely my pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
Let's talk again soon. Jay, fist pumping throughout that interview.
Yeah, man.
Got two great questions from Jabari.
I got my dubstep arm going right now.
Do we have the standings handy? The great, good great questions standings? Because I think Jay, I'm a host on this show. It's Cattles and Rod. I think Jay might be catching up to me with his fill-in spots. With the good and great questions.
You got some good ones, though.
Bad news for you.
Did he pass me?
Yeah.
I quit.
On great. You have one, and he has two. Wow.
How many goods does he have?
How many goods do I have?
I don't have any notes for your good questions. You have one.
Oh, my God. He's going to lose it.
Wow. So since we've been counting, Rami, we got to.
That hurts. I got to step my game.
You need me to ghost write for you?
A great question. Get the AI on it.
Hey, real quick before we hit the break and talk some really weird golf stories coming up in just a few minutes. While we're on the Western Conference Finals, Mike Malone, this quote just came out a few minutes ago from The Athletic. He said, this is the first time I've ever been in a series up 1-0, and the series is over in everybody's mind because they put Rui Hachimura on Nikolai Jokic for six possessions. So let's see how it plays that's out tonight. Good.
I had to double check. I thought that was a fake quote.
So did I. So did I. That's Mike Malone going, really?
Yeah.
Saying the same thing I am. That's your plan for stopping what should be three-time MVP? Okay.
I love Mike Malone, man.
And you know he's in Nikolai Jokic's ear going, they think Rui Hachimura is going to stop you, dude. You're going to let him talk about it? You don't let him say that? It might be a long night for Rui Hachimura when they tip this thing off in about 45 minutes.
Triple-double.
So.
Yes, mark it.
Right after this, big L for LIV Golf, big W for Tiger. That's coming up next. And your chance to win Sebastian Maniscalco tickets.
One brings Maklof magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
Tall Chinese guy asks, is it Nicola or Nikolai? Rami keeps saying I, and I thought it was
It's whatever you want to make it, Rami.
No, it's I have trouble with And I try really hard to pronounce names because I have one. You know what I mean? And I'm not one who gets offended. Like I told the story on the air about one time I was interviewing Aries Spears, and I called I called him Aries Spears a few times, and he didn't like that, and the interview went very awkwardly.
From there on. You know whose mind is? I didn't do it, but I seen him do it in front of someone that was, and it almost worked out because. The show that I was part of, we were getting ready to enter Kadri Ismail.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my goodness. Kadri will cut you, you at the knees if you...
I really struggle with Russian and Eastern European names, with the pronunciation of them. So and when I'm trying to say Nikola Jokic, but when I say it fast and I go right from the first name into the last name, it always comes out Nikolai. So it is Nikola. Yeah, Nikola. I just, I'm bad at talking. Which is probably.
But you have a good reason for it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do. We got to give away some Sebastian Maniscalco tickets, do we not, Simone? We have Live Nation has got your plug to check out Sebastian Maniscalco, who is hilarious. I love that, dude. At the Hard Rock Live in Wheatland, only August 19th. Hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline right now. Looking for lucky caller number, Jay, pick a number.
7.
Lucky caller number 7. We'll win some tickets to go see Sebastian Maniscalco at the Hard Rock Live in Wheatland only on August 19th. For more info, visit SacktownSports.com.
You going to that, Rami?
That is SacktownSports.com. I might have to go check it out. He's hilarious. Have you seen Sebastian Maniscalco?
The dude, I've heard you mention it a few times.
The dude is really fun. We played a clip of his when he was talking about how he doesn't get in fights at bars anymore because you never know when you run into an MMA fighter and they're hanging on your back. Right. You know, they're hanging on your back.
Hey, it's real.
For real. You have no idea. You have no idea who you're messing with out there. So just don't. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. LIV Golf picked a fight and maybe messed with the wrong golf association in the PGA because things are not going well for LIV Golf. Last week, they cut off some tournament.
So they were playing their whatever tournament in Tulsa.
Yeah.
And the last round was on the CW.
Yes.
Normally it's just on their streaming platform.
Sports broadcasting powerhouse, the CW. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when they got to the end of their time slot, they still had 4 holes left to go in the tournament. And the CW said, your time slot is up. We're going to whatever programming was supposed to be on at 3:30.
That's
which,
not good.
Depending on where you were, was reruns of The Big Bang Theory.
Oof. What, really? They cut it off for reruns of The Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
Wow.
And in other places, it was paid programming, but they went to something else besides LIV Golf.
And Jim Nance noticed.
No, he did.
Jim Nance noticed and is an absolute savage and had this to say at this weekend's PGA, or was it yesterday? It was today. Today at a PGA Tour event.
Not sure if you had a chance to see it, but he was the winner last week in Tulsa in a playoff over Cam Smith.
Nice shade thrown there by Jim. Not sure if you had a chance to see it. Because they showed a Big Bang Theory rerun instead, but he won last week in Tulsa.
And infomercials.
And now LIV Golf to avoid criticism of its viewership in the United States is they're not going to report viewership information altogether. They're going to stop reporting ratings, which I would say, Jay, probably a bad sign.
Yeah. Look, the money, it always looks good when it's early. And I'm glad those golfers got their money. Mm-hmm. They got their bags. They got their checks, the deposits, the wires, transfers, the cryptocurrency, however they chose to receive their flow of cash. I'm glad they got it. Live for what it's worth. When it was first announced, I thought it would be pretty good for the sport of golf.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest golf supporter.
Same.
It sounds crazy because the NBA and MLB and NFL, they have monopolies over leagues. But I would like to see more options. You know, we've tried to see it for the last 50 years for the NFL, right? I mean, the XFL, the USFL, AFL. I mean, so many different variations of leagues that are trying to compete against the NFL. But now it's kind of becoming a mockery. It's a joke. It's almost to the point to where we have some good names, Bryson DeChambeau. We heard Dustin Johnson right there. There's some good guys playing on that side of the tournament, on that side of the grass, on that side of the fence. And we can't even see these guys finish the tournament. We got to go to CWTV.com to see the end of
a
tournament.
Honestly, I think the PGA's campaign of smearing LIV Golf has absolutely worked to drive them to the CW, Jay. You know what I mean? Just to for all the major networks to go, oh, no, that's blood money. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which I said at the time, and it is blood money. Yeah. Like, it's the Saudi government.
All the rest of these leagues have it,
but
too.
But I said at the time, it's awfully funny for the PGA to act righteous when you look at some of the people and companies and corporations that they've gotten in bed with, you know what I mean, to make a dollar or two.
And we're not even going to talk about the Master situation down here. The famous Augusta.
Yes,
the Masters.
Exactly. They have their own. They have their own blood on their hands. Yeah. But it worked. You know what I mean? All this making them seem like the evil entity with the Saudi government funding. It worked. It seems to have worked, and people don't really want to do business with LIV Golf, it seems like. And that has, that'll drive fans away. You know what I mean? When it's hard to find the product, that will drive fans away.
Was CW used to have the frog?
Yes.
Well, that was CW,
Yeah, the
right?
Dancing Frog.
The Dancing Frog? Yeah. CW, they're struggling, brother.
Kyle's over there shrugging. He has no idea.
No idea what you're talking about. I think they had, Jane the Virgin or something.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
I don't either. That's the only thing I know about the CW.
Real quick before we hit the break, then we'll get to the top spot. Some 49ers and Kings talk in the top spot at 5. A Florida judge ruled late Wednesday, while we're on the subject of golf, that the ex-girlfriend of Tiger Woods must abide by a non-disclosure agreement she purportedly signed and resolve her lawsuit seeking millions from the golf superstar through private arbitration behind closed doors. And this is just a really weird story, Jay. I don't know how closely you've been following it. She worked for him. Then they were dating, which is always messy. And she's making accusations about how all that went down and that she received threats. And that's why she signed the NDA, which is an ugly, ugly story. But the way he broke up with her, man, did you hear about that? Told her we're going on vacation. Then at the airport, his lawyer was waiting for her tell her we're moving all your stuff out of the house and Tiger is done with you. That is just cold.
But keep that ticket, blooded. Though.
Yeah, keep that ticket. That's as cold-blooded as it gets, man.
You know what I'm going to say about Tiger, and this is going to sound incredibly bad. Incredibly bad. He's finally learned. Honestly. He has finally learned through all the things that he's had to go through when it comes to his significant other.
Yep.
He has finally learned with the ring in Las Vegas, the sex ring in Las Vegas, the high end escorts to, him messing up his physical ability with, the crashing into
incident.
Yeah, crashing into the tree.
Yeah, I'm not getting a golf club through
golf
my back window
head,
again.
Right.
That's not happening.
Yes.
I'm going to let my lawyer do the dirty work.
Yes.
But it's a messy, messy story. And again, but You say he learned his lesson. He put himself in this messy situation again.
But at
man.
Least he had the paperwork to back it up this time.
Just be a good dude.
That's why I said it sounds incredibly bad. I don't know, Tiger, but some of the things that he's done has been bad decisions. It seems like he made a good decision in protecting who he was.
Clean break. I mean, if nothing else, clean break.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That and we have to take a clean break, as Kyle is telling me right now. On the other side, top spot. What's with all this Sam Darnold smoke? And also, did the Kings get a lottery pick after all? We'll discuss next.